Diabetes is one of the most common chronic illnesses in the U.S. About 1 in 10 Americans have the disease. That number has grown in the last 2 years. But insulin, a key treatment, isn't getting any more affordable. The price of insulin increased 1,000% between 1999 and 2019 to over $300 per vial. In other developed countries, the price of insulin has stayed about the same. Here's President Biden talking about the issue of insulin affordability.
What do you do if you're a mom and a dad working with minimum wage, busting your neck? You look at your kid, and you know if you don't get that vaccine for him, if you don't get that drug for him, what happens? You're likely to go into a coma, maybe die. You strip away all the dignity of a parent looking at their child. I'm not joking about this. Imagine being a parent looking at a child and you can't afford. You have no house to borrow against. You have no savings. It's wrong.
We're talking about why insulin is so expensive in the U.S. and why the country's an outlier on the issue. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Are you or someone close to you diabetic? Have you had trouble affording insulin or other treatments? You could share your experience now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Dr. Vincent Rajkumar is a professor at the Mayo Clinic Alex School of Medicine and the editor of Nature's Blood Cancer Journal. He's the author of a research paper titled The High Cost of Insulin in the United States, An Urgent Call to Action. Dr. Rajkumar, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
You wrote this paper looking at why insulin is so much more expensive in the U.S. compared to peer nations around the world. First of all, can you tell us how expensive it's gotten over not that long a period of time?
Yeah, as you commented, you know, insulin, the analog insulins have been around since the late 90s, early 2000s till now, and introduced at prices of like $20, $25, and now close to $300 or more. So that's a dramatic increase in price for the exact same product without any modifications over these years. So it's quite baffling.
And you write in this paper, this is a life or death issue for many people with diabetes. And you share the story of a man named Alex Smith in particular. Can you tell us his story?
Yes, sure. I mean, I'm a cancer doctor and I was worried about cancer drug prices until I heard about Alex Smith's story. Alex was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, and there are 1.3 million Americans with type 1 diabetes, where if you don't have insulin, you die. And he was on insulin, and at age 26, you know, you go off your own, off your parents' insurance onto your own. And that's June 1st of 2017, he was on his own. The insurance available to him when he tried to purchase it came with a $7,600 deductible and a monthly premium of $440. And he couldn't afford this. So he thought he'll just buy insulin with cash. And unfortunately, the price of insulin was out of his affordable range. As I mentioned, it costs over $300 a vial. So sadly, within 27 days, he died in this developed country due to rationing insulin. So this really struck me, and I went into the details of why insulin is so heavily priced, it's a 100-year-old drug. Of course, improvements have been made, but none major since about 2000.
We are talking to Dr. Vincent Rajkumar with the Mayo Clinic looking at the high cost of insulin. We'll talk about some of the things that are leading to those high costs in a few minutes. Now I want to take a moment to talk to someone who's personally experienced how difficult it can be to get affordable insulin and other important parts of treatment. Bram Sable-Smith is a reporter for Kaiser Health News, formerly with Wisconsin Watch. He also has type 1 diabetes. When he relocated to a new city, he wrote about his experience trying to get insulin in between doctors. Bram, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me back, Rob.
Well, you report on issues like this, of course. In this case, though, it was happening to you. You moved and you entered into this, Kafka-esque nightmare of trying to get treatment and get your insurance to pay for it. Can you share a little of what you ran into?
Yeah, so I relocated for this job to St. Louis. So I moved from Wisconsin to St. Louis. And I had to actually cancel my appointment with my diabetes doctor in Wisconsin right before I moved because, I couldn't go because of the move, because of the logistics of that. And when I came to St. Louis, I tried to set up an appointment with a diabetes doctor here that was in network for my new insurance. And they couldn't get me in until December 23rd. So then, when I was trying to refill my prescription of insulin at the pharmacy, they were getting a message that my insurance was not going to cover my insulin cost because I needed a new prescription and then something called a prior authorization from my doctor. And they didn't have one on file for my new insulin prescription from a new doctor, and so my insurance was refusing to cover it. And so, I was going to be on the hook, Rob. I needed 2 vials of insulin a month. Without insurance coverage, I was on the hook for $678 is what the price was going to be for just those 2 vials. And these are 2 vials of Humalog, which is a insulin made by Eli Lilly that came on the market in 1996 for, $21 a vial or so. So I was really up against it, and it was, you said Kafkaesque. It really was a nightmare. It took me 16 phone calls, several hours on the phone. This is during the work days, just to get my prescription.
And now you got a taste of what life without insurance can cost someone with diabetes. And the insulin itself, that cost you mentioned, the 600 plus a month, that's just part of the story, right? There's a lot of other stuff that goes into it.
That's right. So, I mean, there's also some I've written in the past about continuous glucose monitors. These are a really, really useful tool. So, insulin, diabetics use insulin to lower our blood sugars, but you also have to monitor your blood sugar, right? To know how much insulin you need, to know how to correct yourself. And so normally what people are doing is they're sticking their fingers, drawing a little bit of blood, putting that blood on a test strip that goes into a machine and you get a reading. And doctors recommend you do this 4 to 10 times a day. So you have a good sense of what your blood sugar is to see how you're managing it. Well, with a continuous glucose monitor like the one I use, it just stays in your arm for 10 days and it gives you very accurate readings of your blood sugar every 5 minutes, right? So this is like almost 300 times per day you're getting readings just automatically right to your smartphone. They're incredible. Because of this thing, I've lowered my blood sugar dramatically because of tools like this. But they are expensive. I was looking, Rob, you can get discount continuous glucose monitors at Costco. So one component is $200. You need that one. Another component is $300, and that would last you about a month. So that's $300 every month. Another component is $150, and that lasts you for 3 months. So you're just continually going to be spending that much money month after month after month after month if you don't have the insurance coverage. And that price puts these kind of things out of reach for a whole lot of Americans.
Bram, before I let you go, you're a reporter. Part of your job is to track down complicated things, research things on the internet, be persistent in calling people. You are custom built to try to navigate this stuff, and it was still a nightmare for you. What's it like for people who, maybe they're not as familiar with technology, English as a second language, whatever other barriers they might run into trying to navigate this system?
Or they just simply don't have the time during the workday.
Sure.
I mean, it can be impossible and dangerous and deadly. I mean, this is one of the things that's really salient about insulin prices is that for type 1 diabetics like me, it's not an exaggeration. If you don't have insulin, you die. If you don't have insulin, your blood literally becomes so acidic that it starts eating away your organs from the inside. It's brutal. And so if people don't have the time, don't know how to advocate for themselves, aren't able to make those 16 phone calls, then they're on the hook for these enormous prices. And sadly, that can be tragic sometimes for people. Alex Smith is the big example. I mean, his story has become so powerful and has become so talked about that Amy Klobuchar, when she announced her presidential campaign in 2020, was with Alex Smith's mother. She was right there when she announced her presidential campaign. So that was a presidential campaign based on this story of how difficult it's become to access insulin, to access prescription drugs, for some people in this country.
Bram, thanks again for joining us.
Always happy to.
That's Bram Sable-Smith with Kaiser Health News, talking about his personal experience not being able to find affordable insulin and some of his reporting. Let's go back now to Dr. Vincent Rajkumar from Mayo Clinic. Let's get into that enormous cost Bram mentioned. 100-year-old medication, in effect, the oldest version of insulin. What has driven this cost up so rapidly, Dr. Rajkumar?
You know, it's multiple factors. As I'm listening to Bram, I'm just like struck by, you know, the injustice of all of this, because first of all, people should realize insulin-dependent diabetics do nothing wrong. This is just an autoimmune type disease that just happens. It can happen to anyone. It can happen to anyone's child. And there is a treatment for it, which is 100% safe and effective. And so we should just make sure that it's affordable and accessible to everyone. In addition to the 1.3 million people with insulin-dependent diabetic, we have another 6-7 million people who have non-insulin-dependent or type 2 diabetes who also need the same drug. So we're talking about millions of people. So what's causing this? Number one, I think, is, as you heard from him, we have a vulnerable population. This population will pay anything to have access to the drug. And that sets the stage because it's not a choice for them. It's not a luxury option. Number two, we have a monopoly, a virtual monopoly, because only three companies control most of the insulin market. And they don't have to collude with prices, but they tacit, you know, just implicitly, like basically one person raises the price, the other company follows suit. And this has been going on for two decades now. It's lockstep and barrel. Like every time one company increases the price, the other increases because it's beneficial to both. So this virtual monopoly does not help. And anytime you have a monopoly, you need to have some price control to protect the public. And that's what we lack. We don't have the ability to negotiate for insulin prices. And so what happens is the companies can increase the price anytime they want with no reason. And that's been going on. And that's why what was $21 can become $300 without any improvement.
Talking to Dr. Vincent Rajkumar, professor at the Mayo Clinic Alex School of Medicine. He's telling us why insulin, medicine invented 100 years ago, is so expensive now in the United States. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see a price cap on insulin? If you're dealing with diabetes, someone in your family, has your experience changed the way you view the American healthcare system? What do you want people to understand about having a chronic illness and being able to afford care? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now with Dr. Vincent Rajkumar, professor at the Mayo Clinic Alex School of Medicine, about insulin affordability. Let's go to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Bill is with us in Madison. Bill, hi.
Howdy. Thanks for taking my call. I've had type 1 diabetes for 45 years. I have fought the healthcare system on a multitude of different things, so I understand this is not a premium healthcare system in the States. But on the insulin standpoint, yeah, it's nuts. I real quick, when I was traveling in Germany a few years ago, I had a vial. It dropped on the on a tile floor and shattered. I went to the emergency room. I was in Hanover, waited 5-10 minutes. They came out with a Humalog, Novolog, or the Humalog, $20. $20. And now it's $300 over the counter here. It's insane.
Bill.
And, go ahead.
No, I just want to say thank you for sharing that experience. I mean, apart from, you know, you're dealing with this chronic illness, how draining is it for you to have to contend, as you said, fight the healthcare system to try to get this stuff affordably for all these years?
Oh, it's just a nightmare, and it depends on the insurance company. I just got on Medicare last year. $13,000 in a multitude of things. They just tripled my insulin copay. It's Quartz Medicare Advantage, tripled from $15 a vial to $45 a vial for me. On top of everything else, Medicare, with all my diabetic supplies and everything, it's just nuts, and I can't get it. Some of the Medicare supplementals don't even cover insulin. They won't even offer it under their supplemental plans in Medicare.
Thank you so much for sharing that story. Dr. Rajkumar, first of all, that Germany story, What is Europe doing that keeps it at $20 a vial instead of $300 a vial?
So many things. I mean, the laws here prevent negotiation for price, and also there's no limit on how much prices can go up. In most of the countries, there's, first of all, more competition, and there are regulations where companies cannot increase the price, you know, without any valid reason. So, and most of these countries in Europe also have, you know, nationalized healthcare system where the government pays for the healthcare, so they are going to make sure that they are getting the good deal from the companies. It's just, don't have to go to Germany, just go north of the border to Canada. It's the same thing. I mean, people can go across the border and buy the same insulin that they get here at a fraction of the price. So it's something that we need to resolve rather quickly. And I think I have pointed this out many times. Insulin is like the Achilles heel of the pharmaceutical industry because there's no rationale for why the price would be going up for the same product. There's no innovation here. This is something that they've always talked about for other drugs. But if you solve the insulin problem, you actually can solve prescription drug problem for all other prescription drugs also.
Thanks again for that call. I think I know the answer here, Dr. Rajkumar. If insulin's for sale for $20 or whatever in Canada, can I call from Wisconsin and order some from here, or is that not allowed?
See, technically, importation of drugs is not legal, but in the Medicare Modernization Act of 2003, they specifically wrote that the secretary does not have to enforce the laws if you bring back, say, if you go to Canada and bring back two or three vials. I'm not suggesting you do that, but I'm just saying that the Congress recognized this problem, and they were basically saying that if someone were to go to Canada and bring for personal use a small amount of supply, that's allowed. But I don't think that is a good solution. Canada doesn't have enough insulin to help America. So we need to come up with our own solution.
We were talking about high insulin prices for people with diabetes. Dr. Vincent Rajkumar stays with us from the Mayo Clinic, Alex School of Medicine. Back to your calls now. Teresa is with us in Land O'Lakes. Teresa, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you want to tell us about, Teresa?
So I am just speaking to the fact, I'm a healthcare provider. I'm a nurse practitioner. I also have type 1 diabetes. I've had it for 20 plus years. And one thing that's really alarming to me as a provider is that not only the cost of insulin, but also the cost of technology. And really that we're not offering this technology to people from different ethnic backgrounds. Because we think we have these preconceived notions that they can't afford it or they don't understand it, or even elderly populations. You know, things like insulin pumps have come a long way to really helping people manage their diabetes. And we often don't advocate for these solutions in patient populations, unfortunately.
Teresa, thanks for the call, sharing your experience as someone with type 1 diabetes and in the healthcare system. Dr. Rajkumar, are we writing off some of our patients because we don't think they can deal with this technology or just assume they can't afford it?
Yeah, what Teresa says is so valid because, you know, it's like penny wise, pound foolish. Diabetes is a chronic illness. If you manage it well now, you save a lot on healthcare costs down the road because it causes heart disease and whatnot. So trying not to give people the best treatments now is not going to help us because we will spend more later. Plus, this is an illness that for insulin-dependent diabetics and many others is not something that is in their control, and we have good solutions, and so that's the other reason. And thirdly, people don't realize, like she mentioned, that it's not only the cost of insulin, it's all of these other products that go along with diabetes care that adds to the expense. And finally, even if you're on insurance or Medicare, the cost is not just the $35 copay. There's the deductible, which in Medicare Part D is now like $500 almost, that you have to meet before you will even get benefit from the insurance. And then at that point, you get a coinsurance of like, you know, 20%, 25% that you have to pay. So it all adds up, and there's more cost than people realize.
Thanks for the call. We'll go to Dan now in Madison. Dan, hi.
Yep. Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What did you want to tell us about, Dan?
Oh, man. I was diagnosed in 1991 as a type 1 brittle diabetic. So I've been an insulin dependent for 31 years of my life now. Ever since I was young, I was under my parents' medical coverage, so I had the health care plans and everything that covered my insulin and my testing supplies and everything else. And when I got 18 and moved away to college, I had to get my own insurance, and for a while, things were fairly decent. As of recently, I was in the union in Madison, and our health coverage was excellent, and my copay was next to nothing. Recently, I was laid off, and the cost of
we're losing your connection, Dan. Is there emergency help, Dr. Rajkumar, for somebody who, like Dan, sounds like he was laid off? Any emergency help for somebody in that situation, suddenly needing to pay the full cost?
So I don't know about the situation in Wisconsin, but in Minnesota there is. I think right now there is a law, I think, passed in honor of Alex Smith, that ensures that people who need insulin in an emergency can get it at an affordable price.
Dan, good luck to you. Just in our last few moments, Dr. Rajkumar, at least is the system taking this problem seriously now, do you think?
I think so. Hopefully something will happen. I don't want to get into legislation, sure, but certainly we need to find a way to cap the prices on insulin so that it's affordable. Secondly, we need to make sure that the other supplies that people talked about that people need to manage insulin-dependent diabetes or type 2 diabetes is available at reasonable prices.
And we'll have to leave it there. Thanks to our guest, Dr. Vincent Rajkumar from the Mayo Clinic Alex School of Medicine, with us today to look at the high cost of insulin and possible solutions. You can keep sharing your stories and thoughts on the Ideas Network Facebook page.